And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We're going to be looking at a very interesting topic today, and I hope you'll stay with us the whole hour. I don't think you're going to be sorry you did, because we're going to be looking at some inside moves. You know, things that most people know little about, and some people, like myself, really know more about than we really want to know or even have to know. But I do want you to understand some of the basics of what I call the greatest cult that exists on the face of planet Earth. Now, you know, several years ago, I was at a church up in Nacogdoches, Texas, and the pastor asked me, why are you so interested in Jewish things? And I told him, well, the book of Revelation tells us the last days satanic church will be the synagogue of Satan. And his eyes got huge. He says, that is in the book of Revelation, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. And God warns us, really warns us twice there about the synagogue of Satan. And it's a horrible warning, and it tells you what the last days religion will be like. Who will be its main members? Who will be its secret contingent? And what it will be doing. Now, I've, you know, written and published now a number of books on Judaism. And most people think that Judaism is just a nice, small, false religion. And that it is. Made up of the, you know, of some of the 19 or so million Jews around the world. There's only around 19 million Jews in the whole world. And, you know, almost half of all the Jews in the world are in the United States. And the other half, basically, are in Israel. And then there's a few scattered millions around the world in Europe and Asia and so forth. Now, there's a reason why these Jews are, you know, made up of Israelis and Americans. America is no doubt the spark plug of this whole world. Without the spark from the spark plug, the world would not exist as we know it. America has the high technology, the money, the finance, the business sense, the intelligence network, and the military to easily rule this world. And we do rule the world. And now it's known that we have the greatest oil resources in the world. You know, just this last week, the newspapers discussed the fact that the largest oil field in the world had been discovered. Actually, it's been discovered for many years, but they just let it out to you and I. My brother, of course, before he died, he was an oil man, as God would have it. And he worked up in Midland, Texas. And it's in Midland, Texas, a small desert-like town. And I visited my brother several times while I was there, where this oil find has been discovered. And they say that it's triple the size of any oil discovery. And it has billions of cubic feet of natural gas and liquid natural gas, as well as shale oil. More than $1 trillion worth of shale oil. And that doesn't count all the natural gas. And that alone would make it much larger than any fields ever found in Saudi Arabia or Iraq or Iran. So basically, the United States sits on an ocean of oil, and we are oil independent. We've been lied to, of course, and a decade ago, the oil companies said, well, only 50% of our oil is useful in the United States, and we have to go out and import over 50% from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, and all of the Arab republics and so forth. But that, of course, was a lie, and they were keeping everything bottled up. And then there was years of dispute over a small little patch of land in Alaska. And, oh, they fought over that, you know, like 20 or 30 acres of oil land. But now we know, you know, there was an oil man here from South Texas on the radio station I was listening to a year or two ago, and he said that there is much more oil in South Texas, south of Austin. There's more oil there, he says, than has ever been discovered in all of the United States ever before. Now, I have said, and no one has ever disputed it, that you, my friend, you, look in the mirror now. You are the richest person on earth. Think about that. Most of this oil sits on lands owned by the United States of America, the government. The rest of most of this oil sits on land owned by the state governments. So our federal and state governments own about 90% of all the oil resources in America. And we give licenses out for these oil companies to go and discover some oil. But basically, you're worth over $5 or $20 million. I there's no way to really calculate it. I stated to you before several years back that every person in America is worth at least $5 million. Now, to those of you who are toiling, who can't get a good job now, who are taking welfare from the government sometimes, who are living in mobile homes and working at two or three jobs, you probably are laughing at me. You're probably saying, hey, I can't even afford to pay gas, my gas bill to get around town here. My wife and I, we can barely afford to get an extra hamburger sometime at McDonald's or Burger King. Where's this $5 million? Well, the big boys have it. The elite have it. They've got all of this tied up, sewed up. They don't let any of these oil lands out unless they want to. And they make you pay Saudi Arabia for gasoline. They make you pay for all that Arab oil that you get for your car and to heat your home and so forth. Why do they do that? So they can control those nations. We tell Saudi Arabia, we will buy your oil, your gas, if you do what we say. That's what we do around the world. Indonesia, Brazil, Mexico, all these countries must do what we tell them to do, or, well, they'll be cut off. That's why we're the kingpin of the whole world. Now, at the same time, we're controlled. Make no mistake about it, Donald Trump is our president-elect. But we are controlled by Jewish forces. Now, some of you are going, oh, no, that's not true. Donald Trump, he's not Jewish. You know, I don't know where you get that, Tex Mars. How do the Jews have influence on our political system? Well, let me tell you, my friends, in about 5 minutes here, I will explain just the brass facts. I said, sort of say brass tacks. And sometimes they are like tacks. They're very, very, you know, got a very pointed, and they hurt when you sit on them. But these are the facts. Let's just, you know, and by the way, I voted for Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump. Now, why did I vote for Donald Trump? Not because I thought we could be free of Jewish influence, that the Jews would no longer run America, but because Donald Trump made certain promises to the American people. Even though he's controlled by these Jewish kingpins I'm going to tell you about, Hillary was really controlled by them. Both sides were controlled by the Jewish forces. Both of them. And they can barely operate. But he did say that he would appoint Supreme Court justices who were pro-life. Now, frankly, I had never in my lifetime heard a candidate who promised that. Did you know that Ronald Reagan said he was pro-life, but he appointed two judges to the Supreme Court that voted for Roe versus Wade, that voted for abortion? That was Ronald Reagan for you. Did you know that George Herbert Walker Bush claimed he was pro-life, but he was actually national director, national president, in fact, of Zero Population Growth, a pro-abortion organization. His wife, of course, is pro-abortion. And, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush is, in fact, pro-abortion. And that's why he appointed to the Supreme Court at least one of the judges who now votes abortion. Now, we could talk about the Supreme Court, but I'm just trying to tell you that our Republican candidates, and everybody talks about how conservative Reagan was. Baloney. He brought in all of the elite. They ran the government of the United States. They told him what to do. And he was a friendly guy, had a wonderful personality. And every once in a while he put his foot down, but not often. And he just ate his gumballs, you know, from his desk there. He was famous for eating his gumballs, candy, and sat there and did whatever they told him to do. He was a Hollywood star. And he did it well for the Jews. And, of course, all the others have too. But he never promised us a pro-life Supreme Court. Nobody ever did. They said they were pro-life. George W. Bush claimed he was too. But they never gave us the judges. But I believe that Donald Trump is going to do what he said. Maybe I'm a fool. We'll see. But on the basis of that, and knowing that Hillary was for partial birth abortion, she was for ripping out the baby from the womb the day before it was to be born, killing the little baby. And of course, this is a big profit for Planned Parenthood, who is one of the biggest supporting organizations of the Democrat Party. So, what choice do we have? Either pro-life Donald Trump or baby-killing Hillary Clinton? That alone made me vote for Trump. Now, there's some other things he promised too on immigration, stopping immigration, building the wall. He promised to attempt to get term limits for the Congress, which I doubt he can get, but he can sure try, because they love being in power. They're going to stay there as long as they can, and they're not going to let anybody tell them you're only there for 6 or 8 or 12 years or whatever. But maybe he'll try that. So there's some good he can do. Now, maybe he will be for jobs and stop all these free trading organizations. You know, the TPP and NAFTA and the World Trade Organization, all of these crooked places that have given all of these corporations rule over us. And of course, maybe he'll stop most of the climate hoax and the terrible climate hoax and the so-called global warming. That's just a big scam to tax us out of existence, my friends. That's all it really is. And they're going to drive up your gasoline and oil rates even more, you know, by adding all that. Plus, they want to control all of your property, all of your land, through the Environmental Protection Authority, the EPA. So these things are good for Trump. But the fact that Trump is bought and paid for, and I'm telling you he is, by Jewish interest, is a well-known fact among the elite. Now, Donald Trump is a different elite than the other elite. Now, that didn't sound right, did it? How can you be an elite that's different than the other elite? That's because both the Republican Party and the Trump forces and the Democrats are run by Jews. Now, let's just look at this very carefully. Now, America is not what you think it is, friends. It is run by, now get this, an annihilation cult. Satan's annihilation cult. This is the blackest secret in the whole world. The blackest. I'm not talking about the color of your skin now. I'm talking about blackness, darkness, evil. This is the blackest secret that has ever, well, not been told. Now, how do I know about this? Because God told me about it. Now, I've written a book about it, at least part of it, entitled The Destroyer, The Antichrist Is at Hand. The Destroyer, The Antichrist Is at Hand. The Antichrist will come along very soon, I'm sure, and he will sit at the top of the heap. He will be the master destroyer, and he will indeed destroy most of the world. This is the coming of Gog and Magog. Read about it in the book of Revelation at the very end. Gog and Magog. how they take on and attempt to defeat God's people, the overcomers. The annihilation cult. Now, I believe that Trump, and whether he's fully aware of it, I'm not sure. I believe he is. And even Hillary Rodham Clinton was indeed fully aware of it. They are both controlled by Jewish forces. Let me explain this. You see, people such as George Soros, a Hungarian Jew from Europe, he is not even American, but he's controlling the Democrat Party. Now, when Trump was elected, Soros sent out all of his agents, and he controls over 190 nonprofit organizations in America. Think of that. MoveOn.org and, you know, Black Lives Matter, and all of these groups are funded. They're funded. They're given their money and their marching orders by George Soros. The entire Democratic Party is funded by George Soros and other rich, rich Jews. Now, George Soros is a Jew from Europe. He's right now in America meeting with various Democrats to determine how he can defeat and conquer Donald Trump, to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't give us everything that he promised us. And there will be great fights in Congress and so forth. Now, I want you to understand that our U.S. Senate, the Senate Minority Leader, the lead Democrat, is a man named Schumer, Chuck Schumer. Schumer is a Jew. How did a Jew get to be in charge? Well, that's the way it goes. But Chuck Schumer has taken over from Harry Reid, who's retiring, and he is now the leader of the Senate. But he works for George Soros, and George Soros tells the Democrats what to do. George Soros sent messages back and forth to John Podesta, the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton, and he set up all the organizations that incited the violence inside the Trump rallies. Now, you remember all those things, and Trump said, get them out of here and all of that, and all of the violence that took place in the streets. All of those thugs were bought and paid for. They're the supporters. They were bussed in. They weren't local supporters. They weren't local Democrats. Many of them weren't even Democrats. Many of them didn't even vote. They were just thugs. And they were bussed around the nation from city to city, causing problems, burning cars, jumping on police cars. They started murdering police agents and so forth. And now when Trump won the election, they've decided to show us how much power they have. And in 7 or 8, 9 cities across the United States, they've been carrying out demonstrations. These were not spontaneous demonstrations begun by people, but they were all bussed in agents. And it turned out that the police from each of those cities stated that the people involved in the demonstrations were not even local citizens. They had been bussed in. They were all Soros agents. That is how George Soros is controlling America. Now, I'm going to get to Trump in just a minute, but I want you to understand this. George Soros tells John Podesta what to do, and John Podesta tells Hillary Rodham Clinton what to do. So George Soros runs Hillary Clinton. But let's forget about Clinton. That's another story. She's finished. Trump is in, and Soros is his main competitor. Now, you know, the Jews, they're sort of a... Oh, you know, people talk about them being tribesmen, Jewish tribe. Well, they're sort of a friendly alliance of warring tribes. You know, there's no honor among thieves. And they're fighting each other. And they're battling for turf. And they're battling each other, attempting to take over. Each one wants to foster its own Antichrist candidate. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? Each of the Jewish tribes wants to control the other. It's like a mafia war. That's what it is. It's a Jewish war. And in fact, the Jews do control the Italian mafia in America, and they always have. They control Las Vegas. They control Atlantic City, New Jersey. and they control all these Indian tribes that run all these casinos. They are the casino moguls, the Haim Sabins. Haim Sabin is a billionaire, a Jew, who runs these several casinos, and he gave Hillary Clinton hundreds of millions of dollars. And then, of course, there's Sheldon Adelson, another Jew, and an owner of the Sands Casino, and he gave Donald Trump millions of dollars. Now, Trump says he used his own money to run to a campaign, and indeed he did use about 90 or $100 million of his own money, but he had millions more from Sheldon Adelson and from other rich Jews. Now, how do you get in as a Gentile, like Trump, or a, sort of a pseudo-Gentile, because that's what she is, Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's part Jewish. She talked Hebrew as a young girl in her home. She admits that her grandmother is named Rosenbaum. What does that tell you? Jewish, of course. But think about it. I'm telling you that Hillary Clinton was, well, my wife Wanda said, you know, Tex, she's a Manchurian candidate. And she was. She would have destroyed America. It would have meant the end of America. And she would have done it for the Jews. She did whatever the Jews told her to do through Podesta. She had no authority to sue Podesta to get him out of there. And in fact, he stayed to the bitter end. And they're still telling Hillary what to do. I understand that the night that she lost the election, she went bonkers and she went crazy and threw things at people and cursed her own assistants and so forth. Because she knew they were running her business. They were telling her what to do. They told her every speech what to say. They told her how to handle the debates. They told her what the questions were going to be. George Soros watched over it like a hawk. George Soros, the Democrat mastermind, the foreign Jew who runs the Democratic Party of the United States. He is a member of the annihilation cult, the Destroyers. Now, opposed to him is another Jewish group. And one of their most famous members is a man, a young man, in fact, named Jared Kushner. Have you heard of Jared Kushner before? Huh. Well, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have a daughter. Her name is Chelsea. They say that she's going to run for Congress someday, but she's sort of a stump, S-T-U-M-P. She's as dumb as a stump, John Podesta, the campaign manager, said. But she's been picked, and she'll probably be in Congress. She may end up a senator or whatever. Chelsea Clinton. Now, how can Chelsea Clinton get anywhere, being as dumb as a stump, even if she is the daughter of Hillary Clinton, the Manchurian candidate, who's run by her campaign team and told what to do? And, of course, they put a lesbian named Huma Abedin, a Muslim, as her handler to watch over her and to be her lesbian girlfriend. And they shack up in their own house and in their own apartment. But Huma Abedin runs everything for Hillary, and John Podesta tells her what to do, and George Soros tells him what to do. That's the way the Democrat Party is set up. And the people like Debbie Wassersmith, who's Jewish, she's a Jew too, she was the head of it, but really she was a go-to girl, just like all the rest of them. They do what they're told. Now, let's go over to Trump's side. Now, people think that Trump is a Gentile who kicked out the Jews. He will not do what the Jews tell him to do. Now, I don't think this is true, and let me explain this. It gets down to this Jared Kushner. Now, we have Soros on one side, then we have a man named Kushner on the other side. Now, Chelsea is married to a Jew on Hillary's side. This is what they do, you see. The Gentiles who want to get ahead in this world know that they must be in with the Jews. Now, the Jews will take them in. They won't really begin to become a full-fledged Jew, but they will be honored and recognized if their family marries into the Jewish tribe. Now, Chelsea married into the Jewish tribe. I believe her husband's name is what? Look that up at halftime for me. I want to know that, Jerry, if you could. Chelsea's husband. It begins with M-E-Z, Mezinkas or whatever. But he's a rich, rich Jew. Of course, his father was a Jew crook. He's got billions, of course. And Chelsea is in with this Jew. She married this Jew. Now, and by the way, through the Clinton Foundation, they paid for her wedding, $10 million. Is that about what you paid for your daughter's wedding, my friends? $10 million they paid for her wedding. That's crooked, by the way. You can't have a 501c3 or C4 pay for your wedding. And she's living in an apartment, $5.5 million apartment in New York City with her husband, this rich Jew. Now, isn't it strange that she's married to a Jew? Okay, Jerry got me his name here. Thank you, Jerry, very much. His name is Mark Mezvinsky, M-E-Z-V-I-N-S-K-Y. He's a hedge fund manager. You know what a hedge fund is, don't you? That's a private Wall Street firm. Okay, thank you. He's the husband of Chelsea. Now, how is it a good Baptist girl? Her dad's a Baptist. Oh, yeah. And her mother is a Methodist. And she is a Jew because she married this Jew, Mezvinsky, this rich Wall Street hedge fund operator guy. Whew. His father, of course, is a big-time Jew. That got the Clintons in big with the Jews. They married in with the tribe. Their daughter is married to a Mezvinsky. Now, at the same time, we go over to the Trump side. How did Trump get in with the Jews? How was he able to attain all that real estate in New York? Now, I know his dad gave him $1 million to start off with, and that certainly helps, doesn't it? But how could you get to be a billionaire worth maybe $10 billion and own all these fabulous properties, including, now get this, folks, the huge casinos and the golf clubs, the country clubs? How do you do that as a Gentile? Well, your daughter marries into the tribe. And Ivanka Trump is married to who? A Jew, Jared Kushner. Now, on one side, the Clintons, you have Chelsea. She marries into the Jews by marrying Mark Mezvinsky. And on the Trump side, Ivanka Trump marries into the Jews by marrying this young man, Jared Kushner. Both of them are part of the Jewish system then, aren't they? So that Trump will be given certain prestige and power through his connection with the Jewish tribe, through her marriage, that marriage of his daughter, Ivanka, to this Jew, Jared Kushner. Now, Jared Kushner is pulling the strings in the Trump organization. And I believe that the Jews are running Trump through Kushner. Now, people are going to look at me and say, wow, I can't believe that. Yes, that's right. George Soros runs the Clinton faction, and on the other hand, the other side, the Republican House, is run by the Kushners. And I'll tell you about the Jewish Kushners when we return. We're going to have to take a little break here, folks. But remember now, Kushner runs Trump, and Soros ran Clinton. We do not have an honest president, nor did we have an honest candidate on the Democrat side who is not run by the Jews. It's the Kushners on one side, the Soros on the other. The Jews run the United States of America. And whatever crumbs from the loaf of bread that Trump gives our way as Gentiles, we're to be thankful for. And if he gives us pro-life and saves millions of babies' lives, if that's his contribution, then so be it. I voted for him. That's better than seeing all these poor little babies die through the hands of that murdering Jezebel, Hillary Rodham Clinton. I'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars again. You know, my new book, The Destroyer, the Antichrist is at Hand, is a very insightful book. And I'm talking really today about Jared Kushner, who basically tells Donald Trump what to do And, of course, George Soros, who, on the other hand, told and still tells Hillary Clinton what to do. Now, the Kushner-Soros factions are at war with each other. Each one wants to bring to power their version of the Antichrist. And they will, in fact. There will be an Antichrist. Now, he may unite these two versions. You know, it's interesting that Trump said, I used to be Democrat. I used to be what I'm now opposing. Hillary Rodham Clinton, of course, claims that she's a moderate. She's down the middle, but she's about as leftist as can be. So it seems that we're right stuck in the middle. Like the old song goes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. The middle class of America is stuck in the middle. Now, I hope you'll go out and get my book, The Destroyer. It'll make you understand this election a lot better and what really was at stake in it. We don't have a Gentile as president-elect. We have a Jewish-run Gentile. It doesn't mean I don't like the man. I do. I like him. And he's a lot better than the other side. So you see, there's some distinguishing characteristics. I mean, if you met two convicts, in a prison cell, in a federal penitentiary, one's probably going to be worse than the other. It doesn't mean you like either one, but if you had to support one or the other, you'd probably do it. But you'd pray that God would look after the innocent that each one may hurt. Now, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 9 tells us about a king who is the angel of the bottomless pit, that's hell. It says his name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Abaddon, that's Revelation 9, verse 11. Abaddon, that's a Hebrew word, and it means destroyer. The destroyer will come forth in the last days from the pit of hell. The destroyer. Now, it's interesting that back in the 1950s, a man named Maurice Samuel came forth, and he wrote a number of Jewish books. He was a very highly acclaimed Jewish author, but he cared nothing for Gentiles. He said this. He said in his book, by the way, entitled You Gentiles, he's talking about us, my friends. He has nothing but contempt for us. Maurice Samuel said this. He said, we Jews, we are the destroyers and will remain the destroyers. Nothing you can do will meet our demands and needs. We will forever destroy because we want a world of our own. Think about that. They have been the destroyers. They are the destroyers. And they will remain the destroyers because they want a world of their own. And as far as the Gentiles go, unless the Gentiles join their tribes, that doesn't mean they become Jews, but they have connections with them. They will be loyal to the Jews. They must die. That is the Jewish gospel. It is from their Talmud and from their Kabbalah. You must die. They are the destroyers. You are the destroyed, or soon to be destroyed. Kushner, Soros, are just two factions in this world who want to see to our demise. Now, they are the leaders, and there are people behind them. There is a mega force of very rich Jews, and some of them, which I don't even know the names, but they are the annihilation cult. Now, I'm going to tell you in a minute what annihilation cult means. And this is the blackest, the darkest, the most evil, wicked secret of our day. And it is known only in its full range and dimensions by our God in heaven. Without God, my friends, you and I would have no hope. Without Jesus Christ, we would be destroyed. And we would have no heritage. But we do have Jesus. We do have hope. We are the overcomers, the Bible says in the book of Revelation. And we will overcome with the blood of the Lamb. Now the destroyer, the Antichrist is at hand, is the book that I'm talking to you about now. And you need that book. it gives 55 Bible proofs, 55 proofs from the Bible that this is the destroyer tribe, the Jews. Most Jews don't even know they're the destroyers. Most Jews are innocent, but they are complicit in that they obey, go along with, and are killers, many of them. And you must know the facts about the Jews, about their God, the Holy Serpent. That's my second new book now, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Now, if you would like this book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews, or the book, The Destroyer, please just write to us here at Power of Prophecy. Each book is $20, add $5 shipping and handling. The Destroyer, or the book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. That is their God, the Holy Serpent, Satan, the devil. He is their God. There's no doubt about it. They call him Leviathan. They call him Abaddon. They know him as the Destroyer. Each of these books, The Destroyer, $20, or The Holy Serpent of the Jews, also $20. Add $5 for each book for shipping and handling. And write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, you can also go to our website, that is powerofprophecy.com, or texmars.com, and make sure you spell that right, TEXEMARRS.com. And you can order either one of these books or both of them. I think it takes both books read very carefully, because neither one is they're not like scholar. They're scholarly, yes, they're academic, but I made them for so that everybody could understand them. Every person that can understand the English language can figure out what I'm getting at in these books. And especially then The Destroyer, over 55 Bible proofs that the Jews will bring forth the Antichrist. And on the cover is a great quote, my friends. And I want you to listen to this quote. Ask if this does not mean the Jews. Ask if this does not involve the Jews. We read in 1 John 2, verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The Jews say they have the Father, but they have not the Son, so they have not the Father. They are liars. They deny Jesus as the Christ. They are the destroyers. And that's what The Destroyer book is all about. They are the annihilation cult. Now, at the same time, you can phone us toll free and get either one of these books or both of them. Our phone number, of course, is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And now we return to our regular program. We're talking about The Destroyer, and we're really looking at the annihilation cult. We're unveiling the blackest secret of the devil's people. Now, before I go any deeper into Jared Kushner, who is Ivanka Trump's husband, and is a member of the campaign team, and is known as the chief member. Now, remember, Donald Trump has two sons, Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. But it is Jared Kushner that rules the roost and tells the Trumps what to do. Now, he's a young man. He's only 35 years of age. He was born in 1981. He's the owner of a real estate company. He's a real estate mogul. And he's also owner of the New York Observer newspaper. Now, I want you to understand that the newspapers are very powerful in America. And, of course, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox News, all of these are. And all of them are owned by Jews. So when Trump was bashing the media, and he certainly should have, I mean, the media are a bunch of snakes. It's a snake pit. All of them are liars and cheats. all these polling firms and the whole bit. And they were all against Trump, it seemed then. Now, the only one in the media that really was for Trump was the New York Observer newspaper, a smaller newspaper. It seems that that is owned by Jared Kushner, who is the son-in-law to Donald Trump. And it said nice things and even endorsed Donald Trump. But then there was the New York Times and then the Washington Post and all of those scam magazines or newspapers, as they were called. Now, Jared Kushner married Ivanka Trump. Now, why did she marry a Jew? And she, we're told, became a Jew because her husband, Jared Kushner, is in fact an Orthodox Jew. Now, Jared Kushner was born rich. He's still rich. In fact, he's worth at least, some people say, $7 to $10 billion himself. He could be richer than his father-in-law, Donald Trump. Now, Jared Kushner is not only a senior advisor to Trump's presidential campaign, but he still runs this real estate empire. Now, how did he get there? Well, it just happens that his father, the senior Kushner, gave him all this money. Now, who is his father? His name is Charles Kushner. He's also he's been called a zillionaire, meaning he has many billions of dollars. Now, Charles Kushner, as it turns out, is from New Jersey, as is his son Jared. And in New Jersey, he was a big real estate developer. And his best friend was the governor of the state of New Jersey, a man named McPeavy. Do you remember a man named McPeavy, my friends? McPeavy was governor and turned out to be a homosexual. And he had a news conference in which he admitted that he was a homosexual. And his poor blonde wife, you know, she stood there like a mute and she was totally destroyed while he stood up and said, yes, I am a gay man. And it turned out that he was having an affair with an Israeli. Ah, yes. We always get into the Israelis, don't we? And it turned out that McPeavy was having an affair in New Jersey there with a Israeli brought from Israel by the senior Charles Kushner. Yes, the homosexual that the governor, McPeavy, was having an affair with was an Israeli who had been brought from Israel and been given the money and be given a big job by the real estate developer, Charles Kushner, who is the father of Jared Kushner, who is married, of course, to Ivanka Trump. Now, McPeavy admitted that he had an affair with this guy. Not only that, he says, but I made him the Homeland Security Director of the state of New Jersey. Oh, yeah, that's how they run all of us. That's how they make sure that they close everything down. And you know, we found out, of course, that the dancing Israelis, you know, the dancing Israelis that were top of the building there in New York, and then they were arrested, but then let go and flew back to Israel. They were dancing. They were so happy to see the two buildings fall down, the World Trade Center towers fall. These Jews danced and partied and everything else, and they were cited by residents. But it turns out that the Homeland Security Director was appointed by McPeavy. He was a homosexual from Israel who had been brought to New Jersey by Kushner. Kushner did his pal McPeavy a favor. McPeavy would take his vacations to Israel. And you know, Israel is the homosexual capital of the world. And there he would meet up with this hunky homosexual Israeli. And he brought him back to America through thanks of his friend, Mr. Kushner, and made him the Homeland Security Director and paid him a salary of around $350,000 a year. Now, was he qualified? I think he was 26 years of age. No, he wasn't qualified to be anything but a ditch digger or maybe a garbage man, but they made him the Homeland Security Director of the state of New Jersey, and he was able to cut off the investigation of the dancing Israelis. Boy, you get all of them. Get the connections here, friends? Now, Charles Kushner then was the kingpin of New Jersey. He told the governor what to do, and he knew about the governor's homosexual affair because he had arranged it. He had brought the man over from Israel for the homosexual connection. Well, McPeavy had to leave office because the people didn't vote for him, because after they found out what he was, and his wife divorced him and all that kind of stuff. And then a man named Chris Christie, you know him, the big man from New Jersey, who became governor. He was the U.S. attorney. He worked for the Justice Department at the time. And here again, I told you, there's these warring tribes. Now, Christie's not a Jew, but he's an Italian. And his little set got together, and they decided to go after Kushner. Because Kushner, you see, was a crook. And eventually they got him for tax evasion and casino paying off bribes and all of that. And he went to prison for 18 months, Kushner did, the senior Kushner, the kingpin of New Jersey. Who sent him there? Well, Chris Christie, the big man who ran for president, the man who was head of Trump's transition team. Now, are you getting any connections in your head? He put Kushner in prison. Jared Kushner's dad, the billionaire. Christie put him in prison. And he never forgot it. Now he's out of prison. Now he's back with his empire. He's got his billions back. And he's angry. Who is he angry at? Chris Christie. And who was Christie running for president against? Donald Trump. Oh, yes. He was going to make sure that Chris Christie didn't get elected president, wouldn't he? The senior Kushner. Mm-hmm. So Trump decided to run for president. Thanks to Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, and his dad, the crook, the mobster, Charles Kushner. Now, he planted, for some reason, he planted Governor Christie, who became the governor. He was a very popular U.S. attorney. He became the governor of the state of New Jersey, and he ran for president, but he didn't make it. Trump did. Now, Trump put him as head of the transition team, with the understanding, perhaps, that Christie would become the Attorney General of the United States under Trump. But comes Kushner, and he tells Trump, "We will not have this man to rule over us." I think you've heard that line before. "We will not have this man, Christie, to be Attorney General. He's the guy that sent me to prison." And so this last Thursday, it seems that Jared Kushner and his father, Charles, paid a trip to the transition building. There's a building, you know, there in, I think, New York City, New Jersey area, where they're having the transition. And they're also connected with the building that's the Trump Tower in New York. Now, it turns out that Charles Kushner paid a little visit to the transition team. And he told Governor Christie, "You're out. You're fired. You're no longer head of Trump's transition team." So Trump was forced to choose Pence. He put Pence in charge of the transition, and he fired Christie. So Christie got his comeuppance for sending Charles Kushner to prison before. Boy, this is a long, harrowing tale, isn't it? So Jared Kushner helped his father, Charles, get revenge over Governor Chris Christie. And Chris Christie is fired as transition director of Trump and is out. And now Mike Pence, the vice president-elect, is head of Trump's transition team. That tells you how powerful Jared Kushner is, doesn't it? So Jared Kushner is pulling the strings. He didn't want Governor Christie as transition director. He didn't want him as attorney general. So now they're out looking for another guy to be the attorney general. They also don't want Giuliani to be the attorney general because of his connections with the Israeli factions that are connected with Hillary. But that's another story on the other side. So I think he's going to end up as Secretary of State. But he's also been paid by Israel in the past. And so he's an Israeli clone himself. So he will be our Secretary of State. He's the Israeli clone, of course. Oh, boy, it gets heavy, doesn't it, my friends? It gets really heavy. Now, so Trump then is run by Kushner, who is his son-in-law. And he now has his dad, Charles, on the team watching, you know, like a vulture from behind the scenes. So there you have your Trump connection. Now let's talk about this annihilation cult in the past. Have you ever seen the movie, my friends, The Fight Club? The Fight Club. If you have a chance, see it sometime. It's a fascinating movie. And it tells about this group of young men who started a fight club. And the fight club, they would actually fight fisticuffs with each other, but it was like an analogy of real life. And they ended up destroying the city. One building after another was bombed and destroyed because they actually believed in fighting each other and destruction. They call it creative destruction. And the final scene of the movie shows the young man holding hands with a woman as they look out the window and they see these huge buildings come crashing down, just like the World Trade Centers came crashing down. Why were they destroyed? It seems like for no reason at all, except for destruction. They were into destruction. And the Jews believe in a concept called creative destruction. And America has been undergoing this creative destruction for about 50 years now. That's why we have unemployment at its highest level. That's why they're bringing in millions of immigrants, no telling how many. And that's why we have this migrant problem that we have. Now, in the book of Proverbs is a fascinating Bible quote. A scripture. And I want to read it to you. Think about it. It's so powerful. It says this in Proverbs. This is God speaking. Now, God is speaking. He says, all those who hate me love death. Think about that. God said it. All those who hate me, love death. And thus, my friends, we have the destroyers. They believe they are creative destroyers. They are destroying the earth. They're destroying our architecture. They're going to establish a new style of architecture for the world. That's why I wrote the book Mysterious Monuments, to enlighten you about this. And that's why they have set up a structure of human beings that work together. And that's why I wrote the book Codex Magica. Now, they have such power that they're able to grasp onto entire empires and destroy them from within, these Jews, these annihilators. Vladimir Lenin, of course, was one of them. He brought together Trotsky, whose real name was Bronstein, who came from the Bronx, New York, who pretended to be a Russian, of course. And Lenin appeared to be a Russian too, but both of them actually were Jews. They were Jewish Russians. And they, with their sidekicks, went into Russia and they disguised the fact that they were Jews and thus began a purge of the Russian people. And as many as 75 million. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great historian, said 66 million Russians were murdered. Why were they murdered? Why were the churches shut down? Why were the churches turned into cattle barns, into whorehouses, and worse, if there could be worse? Because Karl Marx, their theorist, their communist leader, had wrote of this in all of his books. You need the book about Karl Marx that we offer here in the ministry. I'm sorry of the title. I forget the title now, but it's an astonishing book. You call and ask the people about the book by Pastor, Wurmbrand. Yes, thank you, Jerry. By Pastor Wurmbrand about Karl Marx. He was an annihilator. He said he would not be happy until the whole planet Earth and all of the stars and the sky and the sun and the moon were destroyed. He said, then I would really be living. I don't know how you could be living when they're all destroyed and you go with them. But that's the Jews. They say if all the world were destroyed, we would remain. That's how crazy they are. Professor Martin Kraval, a Jew from, I believe, Hebrew University, said, we now have the atomic bomb. We have dozens of atomic bombs. And if Europe and the United States don't do what we tell them, we'll destroy their capitals. Their capitals will topple from our atomic bombs. You see how dangerous it was to let the Jews get the atomic bomb, my friends? Have you ever wondered why the invention of the atomic bomb was done by the Manhattan cult? It was actually called the Manhattan Project. Manhattan, New York, the Jews. Have you ever wondered why a man named Oppenheimer, a Jew, was put in charge of the atomic project to invent the atomic bomb? Think about it. They wanted the atomic bomb so that they could eventually get their hands on it through the United States and Russia. And they gave it to Russia also, by the way, the Jews did. We know about the Rosenbergs, who both went to the gas chamber, were spies, Russian communist spies in the United States. In Russia, of course, Lenin caused such havoc. He brought the Red Terror. The red color is a special color in the Bible. Read about the woman who wore scarlet in Revelation 17. You'll know what I'm talking about. Now, at the same time the Russians were controlled by the Jews who brought communism and wanted communism throughout the world, but they got sidelined and communism failed, but they'll bring it back. They'll come back. Wait and see. They want to bring it back this time through the United States. They say the wrong vehicle was Russia. The Russians were the wrong vehicle. We need the Americans. It's the Americans which we will use to bring communism to the world. That's their plan. Now, their own holidays belie the annihilation cult. Purim, for example. Purim is a day when they say we will kill all of our enemies on a certain day. Purim. The reason they wear their skull caps, they're black. The reason the rabbis wear black. The reason they have their serpent, their cobra, little curlicues coming from underneath the skull cap. Have you ever seen the Orthodox Jews in New York with their black suits and their serpent curls from their hair? Did you know the Jews still perform slayings today? They do chickens and other animals, slay them, and use their blood in blood rituals. That's today, my friends. They're the annihilation cult. They want to see to the death of all of the people of earth except themselves. They control our politics. They control the media. They own all the media. They control Trump from behind the scenes. I pray that he could possibly escape them, but I doubt it. They certainly control Hillary Clinton. The Jewish religion, you will find in my book, The Holy Serpent, is witchcraft. Their Kabbalah, their Talmud, is witchcraft. And Jesus said, your religion is not of God, but is man-made. It's of the serpent. Jesus said it, and that's true. Well, that's the annihilation cult. That's all I have for you today. Been great being with you. My prayer is, my friends, is you will tune in each week during this same time here on this radio station or online and discover the power of prophecy.